Good evening and welcome to Mel Brewer Presents. My name is Jason. Jay Scott is not here with me this evening. As you can tell, we are on tape. Tonight's feature is Deja Voodoo, band from Montreal. It was in town last month, about the middle of February. The interview was taped in the studios of CITR on February 13th, and I sincerely hope you enjoy it. And that's Deja Voodoo from Too Cool to Live, Too Smart to Die with Cheese and Crackers. Where did you find that song, guys? Where did you discover?
It's on a compilation reissue from England. Yeah.
Sun R&B.
Yeah, it's originally, well, Roscoe Gordon recorded a whole bunch of stuff for Sun in 51, 52, and for other people. And that was just one of the songs that they never put out because it was too stupid. And then finally got put out around 1980 or something like that, and that's where we found it.
So you have no qualms about covering stupid songs?
No, most songs are stupid in one way or another. I mean, think about it. I mean, if you think about it, like Rock Me Up Amadeus, that's a pretty stupid song.
Oh, most definitely. You also cover Down in Mexico.
That's by one of the coolest bands ever.
That's the Coasters. It's their first single. They used to be called the Robins before that, and they changed the name to the Coasters. And Down in Mexico was their first record.
And Richard Berry sings on it.
No, he doesn't.
Well, he sang when they were the Robins.
Robins, yeah.
Richard Berry, the man who panned Louie Louie.
Yeah.
And many other good songs.
We're, of course, speaking with Deja Voodoo.
He's Gerard.
He's Tony.
Together.
We're Deja Voodoo.
Yeah. And the international recording artist with Midnight Records through OG, their own label.
Music. Yeah.
Yeah.
And these guys are, of course, from Montreal. The La Belle Province. Is it just as belle as it used to be?
It's still a bunch of ding-dongs.
Yeah, no. it's not as pretty as it is out here.
Yeah, we like it out here.
Yeah, it's a cool place, though.
You seem to have built your reputation a lot on touring this great land of ours.
Yeah.
It's a good country.
With two people, it must make it a hell of a lot easier than if you had a string section.
Everyone says that, but I mean, if we had a string section, all they'd have to do is carry little violins. We have to carry big drums and heavy guitars and stuff like that. But it works out okay.
And you only have like two people to spread the weight of t-shirts and stuff out on, too.
Yeah. But we live.
And another piece of OG Deja Voodoo history, the Sludge Mobile.
It died. Yeah. It was a work of art, but it went dead.
For those unfamiliar with said machine, perhaps you'd fill them in on.
Okay, it was a white and sort of rose pink 1959 Edsel, and it was the coolest car ever. It was made out of like half inch thick plate steel. Yeah. It weighed over 2 tons. I crashed it into a snowbank once at 60 miles an hour, and the engine didn't even stall. It was great.
Good car. Some old geezer. Named Herbie Hegler is trying to put the car back together.
Yeah, well, I don't know who he is, but he bought the car out of a scrap heap and called Tony up and said, "Hey, I saw that you got this Gisley car," and so now he's trying to put it back together.
Yeah. We got a line on another cool car, the new Sludgemobile, a black 1959 Coupe de Ville.
Tail fins up to Mars.
We're going to put deedly balls in it.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Or maybe prairie dog tails streaming from the
different colors. Antenna. That's the problem with the Sledgemobile. It didn't have an antenna. Yeah. We kept saying, "Oh, we'll fix the radio later," and we never got around to it.
The cars have a lot to do with making a band's image, do you think, especially when they tour so much?
I don't know. It just happened to be the car that came along when we were looking for a car. And there it was.
It's not so much a matter of image, it's just style.
Yeah, it's just good. Psych too. It gets in the right frame of mind to go to gigs and stuff. Especially since it had no radio, we used to like drive for 3,000 miles without hearing music. So we used to like drive all night long in this stupid Edsel, which had a cracked manifold, which would go chug all the time. And we like sing gospel songs at the top of our lungs just to entertain ourselves and stuff.
So I see a similarity there with Vancouver's own Undertaken Daddies. Will you be doing a cappella?
Well, they can sing a lot better than we can. I don't think we'd ever do anything a cappella. We get close. Closest we ever get is like foot stomping and finger popping and no drums and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Now, this sort of minimalist stuff you're doing here, why don't you have any guitars, any other guitars, any bass, anything like that? How did
everyone else in the world is square?
Yeah.
No, at first, not many people wanted to play with us, and we started off playing with more people, and it slowly got smaller and smaller because not everyone wanted to do what we wanted to do, and we got down to two, and we said, "Well, can't go much farther. Stick with it here," and we invented Deja Voodoo.
What were you doing, as you say, with the more people? Were you playing basically the same kind of stuff with
a little more Ramonesy?
Yeah, more blocky sort of.
Before we started doing gigs, we had like bass player and sax player and stuff like that, and they slowly fell by the wayside. And we had a singer for a while, and we were in a band called the Halftones, and then he went away, and
then Deja Voodoo
came along.
When would you say, what date did Deja Voodoo actually come
together?
Well,
we did our first gig on November
14th.
1981.
Took us a couple of years to get to the point where anyone had heard of us, because in Montreal all the time, they're like, no clubs.
Yeah.
No, nothing.
Mm-hmm. I remember when, have you heard of Touché?
Yep.
Yeah, I've heard of them.
They came into town, and I was talking to them about it. They're speaking from a more francophone perspective, but they had the same problem with lack of clubs in the city.
Well, now there's a whole bunch. There's maybe 8 or 9 different clubs in Montreal that we can play in. Touché, because the style of stuff they do are limited to perhaps 2 or 3.
Yeah.
But if Touché was a little better known, they could play like the Jazz Festival and stuff like that too. So it's not a real... Well, you just have to keep slugging at it for a while.
It's not like they've done a large amount of gigs in Montreal either.
They've done maybe 3 or 4 shows in Montreal. So.
Now, you've built up what amounts to a large cult following, not only in Montreal, but throughout the country with the help of the Deja Voodoo train.
Yeah.
Your newspaper.
Yeah, it helps.
Josh, you could tell us a little bit about how you put it together, what goes
into
it.
Well, both of us have some background in newspapers and stuff like college newspapers and stuff like that. And... we found we were getting to the point where we were getting mail from literally hundreds of people, and we just didn't have the time to answer all the mail. So what we do now is if someone writes to us, we write them back, and then we just keep them in touch with what we're doing by sending them the Deja Voodoo train. And it's good for sending out to like places where we're going to play and stuff, so they know who we are and what we're doing and stuff.
And also it works just as like our press kit for a current press kit with all the current clippings and stuff that we get.
People seem to like to get it.
And big posters and stuff for people's walls. And
you also support a lot of other bands in the same vein as yourselves through the newspaper.
I like to see stuff happening.
Doesn't have
to
be the same.
It's good to be entertained.
Yeah. Doesn't have to be the same vein, as long as it's vaguely similar attitude is perhaps what we look for a little more.
Can you define that attitude?
Not really
well. The attitude
well.
That can be told. It's not the eternal attitude.
No, it's... That's people who are taking stuff and messing around with it. I don't believe it's possible to be completely original. Whenever we, like, people say, you should come see my band. And we say, well, what are you like? And they say, oh, we don't sound like anything else. Then we know we're in trouble because we know they're going to be some stupid clone band or something. But, like, we like bands who just take, like, some kind of music, whether it's folk or hardcore or whatever, and just mess around with it a little. We like bands that warp things.
Do you feel that's what Deja Voodoo originally started out to do, and you think that's what you're doing right now?
I don't think Deja Voodoo started out to do anything. When we started out, there were a lot of bands around Montreal who, because there were no gigs around, used to jam for an hour and then spend 4 hours talking about what they were doing and how meaningful they were and what their purpose in life was. And Deja Voodoo is just...
doing things.
Yeah, it's just literally a combination of accidents and our particular taste. It's just a reflection of
who we are.
Who we are and what we listen to. And the reason it sounds like Deja Voodoo is because I play the kind of guitar I do and he plays drums and those cymbals and stuff, and it just comes out sounding that way.
That's just about all we can do.
Yeah, we're like at the limit of our ability for sure.
One thing that definitely to be said for you is you've got initiative. Well, there's a lot of things to be said for you. Why did I put it that way? Anyway, to get signed to Midnight Records or to hook up with those people who've got a really big international reputation.
Well, not for long. No, we didn't really initiate anything to get hooked up with them. They were selling a bunch of our records anyway because they were a distributor. They sold a bunch of Cemeteries, our first album, and then they just asked us, because they were selling a bunch of records, if we wanted to be on Midnight. We said, okay.
Sure.
Yeah.
It's always nice to not to, to have to pay for your next record.
Yeah.
So how does it work with
Midnight?
Midnight.
It's like a regular record company type deal. They pay us royalties.
And how does it work with Og?
Hey, Og? Voodoo on Og?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we just do it.
Yeah, Voodoo pays for Og. And
yeah, basically, Og loses money. The label that we run loses money. We put out stuff by other bands that don't break even or that break up or something like that. Yeah. And Voodoo goes on tour a lot and does a lot of gigs, and most of the money that Voodoo makes goes back into Og, or goes back into Voodoo.
Okay.
Or goes into buying good Chinese food.
Yeah.
How about putting together compilation records?
Hey, they're fun.
Speaking of compilation records.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to hear a track from It Came From Canada.
Okay.
And then probably another one of your fabulous concoctions. And then we'll talk about how the compilation came to be.
Okay.
This is Lonely Motel.
Yeah. Yeah.
No. What do you call that again? The version?
Yeah, it's the extended dance version. Yeah. For extended dancers.
Are you not running into any legal problems from the Men Without Brains?
Well, they threatened to sue us.
Really?
Yeah. But they're usually pretty drunk, so I don't think they'll ever get around to it.
Uh-huh.
They won't mind.
Besides, judges don't like people who don't bathe.
Yeah, they don't wash, so.
No?
They won't go over too well in court, I don't think.
Now, you did another song on there, Lonely Motel.
Yeah.
Plus, also we heard Down in Mexico, as you were talking earlier, by the Coasters originally. And tell me where you got the idea.
For the compilation?
For the compilation.
Well,
it just sprung out full-formed almost.
Yeah. We wanted to have stuff by other bands put out. And
we couldn't afford to do an album by each of them, so
we put together a compilation from across Canada, and funnily enough, we called it
It Came From Canada, and people dug it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It even went so well that we sold out our first pressing of 1,000 records in 6 days.
Which screwed us up something fierce. Because
surprised the hell out of us.
We didn't have any promo copies around or anything like that, but we recovered.
What do you think that says about what's happening across Canada with the sort of not revival movements?
Well, it's encouraging. I think it says something about compilations too. I think it's really easy to do compilations. It's almost sort of lazy because you know that each band on it is going to have 40 or 50 fans who are going to really want the record and stuff like that. So in a way, it's a cop-out doing compilations instead of doing whole band records because it's not a really good indication of how popular the band is or something. But still, it's kind of neat that enough people out there are interested in what's going on to pick up a record that fast. Also, it came out just before Christmas, and I think a lot of people got it in their stockings.
Yeah. We've gotten reviews in like the Globe and Mail that says it's changing the face of the Canadian identity.
And stuff like this, which is pretty funny.
So that would, I guess, make you kind of the new Bob and Doug McKenzie.
Don't even say it. We eat better than they do.
And don't drink as much.
That's true. Though we could. Well, we felt like it.
Yeah.
I was going to say.
But we're putting out a volume two. All you
cool bands out there.
Out there.
We've already got about 20 bands from Vancouver, but we could use a few more. What the hell?
20?
Well, yeah, people have been, since we got out here, we've been talking to everyone about it. We've got all these tapes coming in. It's pretty neat.
So, we're not gonna, rhyme off the address?
Okay, I'm good at this. Send those demo tapes and little information about your band to Og Music, P.O. Box 182, Station F, Montreal, Quebec, H3J2L1.
We'll repeat that later in the program.
Yeah.
Probably have a pen and paper. A pencil handy.
I-Z. Now, let's... Why? Again, why do a compilation? Why put together the bands that you've got here? Why put the Dusty Chaps on? And
I love the Dusty Chaps.
We like them all.
One of my favorite bands. I think that's one of the strongest tracks on the whole album.
Yeah, okay. I like his voice. I like Roland's voice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he's just like one of the coolest persons ever.
Yeah, I'm not sure if you're asking why we put it out or why we chose the bands that we did.
Well, kind of both. Kind of both. You know?
Well, it's sort of we just wanted to deal with the sort of
cool
thread of cool that runs through the country and got bits of it here and there. And the problem with the record that a couple of people complained about is that if you're a fan of a particular kind of music, you're not going to necessarily like a lot of the other stuff on the record. But if that's true, well, the hell with you. You know, if you want to buy a record where everything sounds exactly the same, you know, you can do it. There's enough records out there. Hey, that's not nice.
Well, neither are they.
Hey, he's a mean guy. That's why he's a drummer. Yeah, we just thought, like, get some cool stuff together. And I think almost everyone who has the same sort of attitude towards records as we do. Hey, don't rub your face on the microphone. Sorry. Almost everyone has the same sort of attitude towards music that we do is going to like at least a large batch of it. So we did it.
Do you think that people can define easily that all these bands are Deja Voodoo's faves just by listening to them?
I doubt it.
Probably not. I mean, it's a pretty wide range of stuff.
Yeah. Most of it sort of shares some
element of coolness.
Yeah.
There.
Some idea of not trying to sound like stuff you hear on Sea Fox or something like that.
Yeah.
But although a couple of the cuts could, like Radical Look by Jerry could conceivably be played on the radio.
Okay, now let's take that song. That's pretty blatantly political.
Hey.
Oh, you're thinking of Bad Idea?
No.
Radical
Look? Radical Look, yeah.
Well, both of
Jerry's
them.
Stuff is
sort of...
He's got these sort of dopey, half-baked political ideas. Yeah.
Well, actually, he's got pretty good political ideas.
You're
I enjoy
jerk.
His politics.
He's a jerk. His politics... He's a jerk, Tony. He's a jerk. Yeah. Yeah, Jerry's a libertarian, and he believes in, like, no... What is it? No government. No...
Well,
no government except for an army and a police force.
And a judicial body.
Yeah. No, he doesn't like judicial bodies.
Yes, he likes
judicial bodies. When Jerry and the Sons of Rhythm Orchestra were in Ottawa, they drove around and around the Supreme Court yelling obscenities at them. They don't like judicial bodies. they went around. They hate the East because they're from Edmonton. They think the East is like the embodiment of like big bad government, like nasty things like welfare and stuff like that that they're opposed to. So they just went into Ottawa and drove around on the streets yelling at postal workers and stuff like that.
They're a fun bunch of guys.
Okay. Now, who would you describe as your favorite on this record?
Not touching that.
Uh-huh. No?
My favorite cuts are the Dusty Chaps and the Gruesomes.
Yeah, I suppose. I like the Gruesomes, and I like... I think we're okay, although I don't think our cuts on it are particularly good.
They don't sound real good, no.
I like Chris Houston and... Jerry.
Jerry, yeah. The Enigmas.
The Enigmas song is really good on it.
Yeah, UIC.
UIC is a good tune, yeah.
My Dog Popper, The Calamity Jane.
Yeah.
Terminal Sunglasses are always good.
Yeah, that's true.
So there we go. The very, very ambivalent about this.
Yeah.
Well, we're like
if we didn't like them, we wouldn't have put them on.
Exactly. You know, what's the use of like putting out records with your own money if you don't like put out stuff that you love? You know.
Sure. But I was thinking of maybe one or two that particularly.
Yeah. Well, we like the Gruesomes. We're putting out a Gruesomes album in April.
Yeah.
So.
And that's another band from Montreal.
Yeah,
they're like
cool guys. They're
music machine sort of.
Yeah, they all look exactly the same. They're all the same height, and they all wear black turtlenecks.
Next
and they all
black
have
leather vests on top.
And they all have like sort of
beetle boots
and beetle haircuts. They have bangs that come down over their noses, and they can't see when they're on stage.
They look
play, like
your
matching guitars.
Your next door neighbors. Weird teenage sons.
Yeah.
And some of these bands have since broken up. Perhaps
the Terminal Sunglasses are gone because the lead guitarist is
allergic to stuff, smoke and stuff like that.
Cat fur.
He can't go in bars anymore. And Jerry's broken up because Jerry and the band didn't get along, and Jerry wants to be a pop band, and the rest of the band want to be
drums. Well, Sparky the Happy Troll, the drummer from Jerry, is now the drummer for Junior Gone Wild. Who just have an album deal with BYO.
Yeah, so they should have no.
Their first non-core hardcore album.
Yeah.
They're a lot of fun. And the Dusty Chaps have broken up.
Yeah, and My Dog Papa have broken up, but they're always breaking up. So who knows? They break up every couple of months.
Mm-hmm.
And who else? Well, the Enigmas lost their bass player, but they got a new bass player now.
Yeah.
I guess all you folks know that already.
Actually, they didn't. It's been, it's only been a few weeks now that they've actually had him solid. And very few people actually know that they're back ready to gig again.
Yeah, well, there they are. They're playing at the Savoy in a little while, and then after that they're doing a big gig at the Commodore in a few months, supposedly.
Mm-hmm.
Though that's not confirmed yet.
The welcome back.
Yeah. Paul from the Enigmas sang a song with us last night. It was a lot of fun at the Savoy.
And I guess, just in case this show doesn't get on this evening, Thursday, the February 13th,
yeah,
we just tell people when and where we're recording this in the studios. It's all going to be done live. Don't worry, we're not going to edit anything out and put your words backwards or take things out of context.
Satan rules.
Now that we might put backwards, we might make an exception there.
Yeah, but messages in the back telling like people in Burnaby to go in and kill their parents or something.
Okay.
they do that without the messages.
Where is it that they have the midget throwing contest here?
Where
was that place that we saw? At least it's not Surrey. Port Coquitlam. At least it's not Surrey.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, there's a saying about White Rock, that living in White Rocks means never having to say you're Surrey.
Sorry. Yeah.
Anyway.
We get mail from White Rock.
Really?
Yeah.
You have many fans there? Two? Three?
Two,
four?
Maybe, yeah.
Wow. Hey, we get mail from all around the world.
Yeah.
And we'll go back to more music from Too Cool to Live, Too Smart to Die.
Oh, good.
And this is the song which Tony does stomping feet on.
Yep. Ooh, it's money.
At one point, you can hear him, like, the thump comes in a little early during the solo. That's because he fell over while we were recording.
you get sort of drunk on Yugoslavian wild sour checker. Yeah.
Okay, before we play it, why don't we just talk a little bit about how you recorded this?
We'd recorded the rest of the record already, and then the record company says, help, we need one more song. So we only had a couple of microphones left. So I bought an acoustic guitar. And we went down and we put one microphone on the floor near Tony's feet and one microphone on the guitar and one microphone on my voice. And we just recorded it. We tried a whole bunch of stuff and this was the one that worked the best, so this is the one we used.
And this is Gotta Have Money.
Yeah.
How Can I Miss You? From Cemetery. Yep. Deja Voodoo's first record.
The world's first ever Sludgeability record.
Yeah.
Why did you decide to give it a name?
Well, we got tired of people describing it as things that we weren't at all. Yeah. Like when we first started out, people kept saying Rockabilly, and we get all these like big hair and ning heads from Montreal down to our gigs and say, oh, where's the stand-up bass? So we just said, well, the hell with you, and we thought we'd call it Sludgeability and let other people worry about what that meant.
Now, on the back of both of your records here, you list people whom you borrowed bits of songs from. Any of those people do you would you not put on a record now? List those names anymore? Any people you've sort of gone back on?
Oh, no.
I don't think so. I think we've gone farther back. We're back into about the 40s now for who we're stealing from. Late 40s, early 50s. And when we started out on Cemetery and on the stuff we did before that, tapes and stuff we did before that, it was mostly 60s type 60s, stuff. Yeah. So we're going to work our way back to about, I don't know,
Cro-Magnon era.
Yeah. Not many records from then, but some good tunes.
I'm sure. Now this is, I guess, where Tony and the drums are most suited.
Yeah.
To come in, yeah.
We've done stuff before. Like, we've recorded Filipino tribal music and stuff like that. We had a cassette out with some of that on it.
Where did you pick up on all of the bands, like the people from the 40s and the 50s, the
records?
Ferlin Husky. When did you start getting interested in them?
Well, I've always been like, when I was like 12 or 13, the kind of music I listened to was like Bo Diddley and Chuck Berry and stuff like that. And then punk came along and I said, wow, 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 this is good. I listened to that. And then punk started getting nasty after a while and I went back to listening to the other stuff. But by then there were bands like the Cramps and stuff around to listen to too. And started going to places like discount record stores and stuff like where you have like big bins and bins and you find one good record in the whole bin. We just sort of worked our way around and back and got to where we are now. We're still doing that.
And you've met the Cramps. You played with them once.
Yeah,
in
Montreal.
They're old.
Yeah. We didn't even recognize them at first. They're so old. We thought they were like bag people off the street or something. Yeah. Hey, I know those people.
And did that shatter any illusions you had?
We have no illusions. Okay. No, you can tell by listening to them. They have that sort of like rock and roll, I don't know how to describe it, rock and roll asshole attitude almost of like, let's sing about cars and chicks and getting laid sort of attitude that's like the Blasters have it and all those sort of bands have it. doesn't mean they're bad bands necessarily. It's, no, just, it's just an like attitude that you associate with people who are still playing rock and roll when they're in their like late 30s or 40s. And like, we try not to sing too many songs, especially now. We try not to sing too many songs about like cars and girls and getting laid if we can help it, because 8 million other bands have done it.
Do you sing songs about death?
Yeah, looks at it that way.
Will you still be playing Sludgeabilly when you're in your late 30s?
No way.
Won't be playing Sludgeabilly in our late 20s.
No, we figure we've got a few more years, and after that, enough is enough. Like, we don't believe in inflicting ourselves on the world for forever and ever. I hate going to see old geezers in bands.
Like the Ramones or something.
Yeah,
like that.
Right. Uh-huh. The Ramones should have died years ago. The Cramps should have died years ago.
Mm-hmm. But you two seem, I mean, anybody who can play, any two people who can play in a band together for just by themselves, about 5 or 6 years now, you guys
five
must be.
Now.
Four.
Well, four and a bit.
Okay, yeah. Four and a bit. You know, you guys must be great friends. Would you continue afterwards?
We knew each other as humans before we were in a band, which helps a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. It wasn't like when people go out and put ads in papers and say,
hey, looking for
a bass player who likes you too, or whatever it is they put in those things. And then you get like people that you don't particularly like, but they're in your band because you need a bass player. So we never had that sort of problem.
But do you think you'll be playing together after Deja Vu?
Well, we got stuff to do.
I don't know.
Depends.
Get on with life.
Yeah.
What would you do if you weren't playing in the band?
I'd probably be putting out a fanzine. Hmm. I like to write. I've got a degree in journalism. Woo woo! Don't tell anyone.
No, I won't. You did already.
Oh geez, you're right. This is radio. Oh my god.
How about you, Tony?
Oh, I'd be doing something. I don't know quite what it would be.
We'd probably both be making sandwiches. That's what we do when we're not playing voodoo stuff. Anyway, we make sandwiches in a restaurant.
Yeah, make coffee.
Yeah, coffee sandwiches. Now, soggy, but they're good.
You're back across all the way across Canada, the tip of the western tip of the continent. When are you heading back, and when are you coming back this way again? Seems to be a regular occurrence.
We leave Vancouver on Tuesday. We're playing Saturday night, which maybe before or after this is aired, I'm not sure. So I would say one way or another, we're playing at the Arts Club, and we're playing in Victoria. And then we play on almost consecutive nights. No, on consecutive nights. We play Calgary,
Lethbridge,
Edmonton,
Regina.
Regina again, maybe. Winnipeg, Ottawa, Montreal, Fredericton, Halifax, maybe Sackville, Guelph, a bunch of other Southern Ontario gigs, Toronto, Ottawa again. And then we go, and go back to work.
And then maybe go off to the States or Europe.
Yeah, if all goes well. We've stopped talking about that because we never end up doing it, so I'm not going to say it.
But it's all worth it, obviously.
Well, it's a lot of fun. You get to see the country. And
nice to eat in all the restaurants.
Yeah, that really makes it worthwhile. And it's just nice not to be sitting in Montreal in the middle of February working in a cafe 8 or 10 fucking hours a day.
Mm-hmm. It can be out here where it's nice and warm.
Yeah.
Okay. What's new for Deja Voodoo record-wise?
We got a new record in the works.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're still writing songs.
But we got about 12 new songs.
Yeah, we wrote a bunch of songs just before we came out on tour, and what we do with them is we'll rehearse them during soundcheck, and then every couple of shows we'll get one more song that we think is almost ready, and we'll try it live, see how it works, see how people like it. A couple of them that work really well down our basement, because we jam in my basement, aren't working that well in front of people, and a couple of the ones that we thought were okay are working out really well. So I guess we'll just keep writing, and then sometime this summer we'll go down to my basement again and record another album.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I think we'll close this off now with a couple of tracks. First one from Too Cool to Live, Too Smart to Die, Bo Diddley's Cat.
Yeah.
Does the man actually have a cat?
Well, he's got a song called Bo Diddley's Dog, mm-hmm. which we have on an album from about 62, 63. A really good album, live album, Bo Diddley, called Bo Diddley's Beach Party. And we just took that and warped it a little, and we just wanted to write a song about how people are always ripping off Bo Diddley, and that's what this song's about.
Do you get nervous at all about some like Ferlin Husky or whoever it may be checking out your record and saying, hey, you know, I recognize that?
No, I think we should send a copy of it to Bo, actually. I think
the
he
big
might dig
Bo.
It.
Bo Diddley's a gunslinger.
Bo Diddley's a bit out to lunch these days. I don't know if you've seen him lately. He's like, He wears got a lot of May suits and has trouble keeping track of which decade it is and stuff.
Yeah.
But he's a cool guy.
Yeah.
Do you think these people would recognize that
oh, yeah.
what you're doing?
Oh, yeah. Any musician type person or anyone who owns a lot of records can listen to any Deja Voodoo record and say, hey, that's stolen from that song, that's stolen from there, that's stolen from there. Most of them are direct ripoffs. Maybe only a riff, but...
But you're damn proud of it.
For sure.
Damn, yeah.
Okay. Thanks to Gerard Van Herk.
Yeah, that's me.
And Tony DeWald.
That's me.
From Deja Voodoo.
That's us.
The dynamic duo from Montreal. And good luck with the next compilation and all the rest of it. And
hey, thanks.
Thank you.
And hopefully, if we can get this on before Saturday, everybody will come out and see you at the Arts Club.
Yeah, if we get it on early enough, we're playing at Zulu Records Saturday afternoon at 4 o'clock, playing in the store.
Yeah, for all you underagers out there.
Yeah.
Great. 4 o'clock, Zulu Records, Saturday.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
And you have been listening to an interview with Deja Voodoo, band from Montreal, who were in town middle of February of this year, played a couple of phenomenal gigs, or one phenomenal gig, I should say, at the Arts Club on Seymour, as well as some shows at the Railway in the Savoy, and did nothing to tarnish their reputation as a fine live act, and in fact, I'm sure they built on it, given the one show that I had the privilege of attending. Jay Scott could not be with us this week. We couldn't fit his voice onto the tape. And Jerry King has taken the week off. He didn't have to touch any controls. So we expect to be back next Thursday night at 11 o'clock with an interview with Rhythm Mission. They'll be playing a show with Red Herring and the Animal Slaves at the Ukrainian Hall, benefit for Co-op Radio, on April the 19th. Also next week, we plan on doing the long-awaited prize draw from the listeners' survey in Discorder magazine, which is now out, by the way, the April issue featuring articles on skateboarding, 10,000 Maniacs, and, well, other things, your regular Discorder stuff. So when we make the draw, be sure to tune in, because who knows, you could have won a package of Zulu Records, Undergrowth Records, Network Records. How can you tell this is live? And or a black book. So that's Mel Brewer Presents next week at 11 o'clock. And for Jay and Jerry, my name's Jason, and I'm going to say goodbye for those two.